Appreciate it. This passage is sobering. We need it. We come to this in our studies about the fiery trial that is to try all of God's people. You remember verse 7, the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Remember that? Chapter 5, verse 7, he says it again. Verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, seeking whom he may draw away and pull away from Christ. This fiery trial. Look at verse 12. Here's where we began, where we left off. Beloved, think it not strange. Let's just read all these verses. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Remember that, exceeding joy. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you. For the Spirit of glory, the Holy Spirit of God, and resteth upon you. On their part, whose part? The world, even family. He's even evil spoken of, but on your part, is glorified. Let none of you suffer as a murderer, as a thief, or as an evildoer, as a busybody in other men's matters. It's amazing he would put that along with murder. Yet if any man suffer, or a woman suffer as a Christian, let him or her not be ashamed, let them glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator. Now, verse 5, he says, talks about the fiery trial, and the fiery trial, not trials, but this one great fiery trial is reproach, is suffering. It's a trial of faith for believing, for following the Lord Jesus Christ, for the truth's sake. It is the fiery trial which 1 Corinthians 3 says shall try every man's work of what sort it is. That is, whether or not it's God's work in us or just religion. This is the fiery trial. This is what this is talking about. Now, it says fire, a fiery trial. Fire is a consuming thing. Fire is a destroying thing. Fire is a purifying thing. Our God is a consuming fire. His word, he said, is not my word as a fire and a hammer, consuming, destroying, purifying. God's word, God himself, Christ in you, will consume you, burn within you. Do you remember the disciples on the road to Emmaus? Emmaus. Our Lord appeared to them in disguise as just a preacher. Well, a preacher's a gift. And they thought he was just a preacher, but they said, did not our hearts burn within us as he opened? And they begged him to stay with them. Don't go. Don't leave. Please stay here. The word burns within us. God, Christ in you, will burn within you. It will consume you. God's word, Christ, will consume you. Become your life. You'll be consumed with him. It's just so. Your life, not a part of your life. Anybody that says, God, Christ is a part of my life, they don't have life. We, by God's grace, we become a part of his. In Him we live. We finally realize if He gives us life, in Him we live and move and have our being. For me to live, Paul said, is Christ. So the word, the truth, Christ will consume you like a fire. And it will burn up. The word of God, Christ in you, will destroy everything else. Self. All your false notions, all your past professions, all your false religion, all your thoughts, all your beliefs, all your pride, all your self-righteousness, just consume it. Burn it away. We're going to look in the second message at Moses. He was born again when he came to a burning bush. He wasn't the same man. The word of God is a fire. It purifies. 1 Peter 1, verse 22 says, you purified. See, and you purified your souls and obeying the truth. So, fire is a consuming thing. This fiery trial, destroying thing. A purifying thing. Fire is painful. Fire leaves scars. A lasting impression. Marks that you will never get over. Impressions. You know, we really don't learn any lesson unless it's painful. Fire is painful. We don't really learn a lesson unless it hurts. You know that? We just don't. If it's something mild, we'll forget very quickly. But if it's something painful, you just won't get over it. The pain, the hurt here, this pain and hurt here that he's going to tell us about, we're going to talk about, is rejection, betrayal, separation for the truth's sake. And it's going to happen sooner or later. You know that? That's what this is talking about. Luke 12. Go to Luke 12 with me. Luke 12. Luke chapter 12. And I remind you, when our Lord had an earthly mother, and he had brothers and sisters. Now, we believe that a few of them were believers, but not necessarily all of them. Because one time they came to him and said, he's beside himself. They tried to draw him away and so forth. They tried to draw the Lord away. His mother came one day. He was meeting with God's people. Remember? He was preaching. And she sent word, your mother wants to see you. You remember what he said? Who is my mother? Who are my brethren? This is my mother and brethren. This is my eternal family. Okay. Did he love his mother? No son has ever loved a mother like he did. No. Did he love his kin? Sure he did. Luke 12, verse 49. Our Lord said, I am come to send fire on the earth. And what will I if it be already kindled? It started. When Malachi talked about the Lord suddenly coming to his temple, he said he's a refiner's fire for her soul. He's going to purify the sons of Levi. He's going to take away the dross. He's going to reveal who is a Levite. And we're going to turn to Exodus 14 a minute. We're going to see. Look at verse 50. Our Lord said, I have a baptism to be baptized with. What was that? Fire. He became the burnt offering, didn't he? Did he love God? Did he love his people? Did he leave his father for love to his people? What did he go through? Fire. For the joy set before him. Think about it. And he says, every one of God's people did. He says, verse 51, suppose ye that I'm come to give peace on the earth? Nay, rather, division. How many people in the world? How many religious people have ever read that verse of Scripture? This is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. I have never, ever heard that quoted in religion today. Have you? No, and it won't be, because their Jesus is not a fire. He doesn't bring division. No, no, no. He's wanting to save everybody. Loves everybody without exception. Not the Christ description. Verse 52. From henceforth there shall be five in one house, divided, three against two, two against three. Five family members born in the same house. Three against two. Two against three. Father divided against the son. The son against the father. The mother against the daughter. The daughter against the mother. The mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law. The daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. It's so, isn't it? Some of you have been through it. All will be tried. All will be tried. Of what sort it is, this faith. Go to Exodus 14. I told you we're going to go there. Exodus 14. And this is a difficult thing to deal with, to preach from. And it's even more difficult to go through. Because we love our family. We do. And there's going to be a line drawn in the sand. It is. There's going to come a time where every child of God is going to take a stand. I have to. And it even against, certainly against the world, but against family. Exodus 14, look at verse 30. Thus saith the Lord. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. This is after they passed through the Red Sea. And we're going to look at that briefly this morning. I wanted to actually preach on that, but I preached on it just a little over a year ago. They all passed through the Red Sea, which the Egyptians decided to do, drown. But they saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. Who were they? People they worked for. People they'd known all those years. Maybe they liked them. They obtained favor in their sight. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord. They all probably thought, that could have been me. And it says they believed the Lord. They believed the Lord. Did that. They said they did. And his servant Moses. Thank God for Moses, they all said. Did that. Then trials start happening. Right after this. They hadn't been out in the wilderness for 3 days. And the trials start happening. They start longing for leeks and onions and melons and cucumbers and all this and that and the other. And they began to murmur in their tents. Against who? Moses. I don't like this. I don't like that. I don't like this. I don't like that. Oh, the grace and the mercy of God, the miracle of God, that he chose them and brought them out, slew the Egyptians right before their eyes and brought them out. Yet, they forget. They soon forget, didn't they? And they began to complain. You know, when it was all over, two adults went into promised land. Overcame. What overcame them? The world. People. Family. Draw away. Don't go. Don't go. Stay here. There's nothing to this. Oh, a people chosen, elect, truth revealed, true God, true way, the true life. God sent man, Moses, a man sent from God to tell him the truth. And God kept sending prophets pastors, teachers, evangelists to the people of God. They seemed to believe God. They believed that it was His preacher. They seemed to follow Him, but then the trials started, the world, the things, the people especially of the world, pulling at them, tempting them, luring them, lusting, lying to them, lusting against them, lying to them, and even of their own selves, people propped up. Korah, sons of Korah, they thought they were brethren. And they began to murmur and lure them away by innuendos and accusations and this and that the other against Moses. Even Aaron and Miriam got caught up in it. Look at chapter 32 of Exodus. Chapter 32. This is the fiery trial that he's speaking of. And it begins at the house of God. You see, all this was in Israel. It was the house of God, the people of God. The winnowing takes place first in the threshing floor. The separation of goats and sheep takes place first in the church house. Exodus 32, look at verse 26. Exodus 32, that's not long to look at. 32. That's not it. That's not what I want. I'm in Deuteronomy. No wonder. All right, Exodus 32. Yeah. Exodus 32, 26. Moses stood in the gate of the camp. Oh, blessed are they that watch at the gates. Moses was a watchman. He stood in the gate of the camp and said, "Who's on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me." And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves to Moses, the sons of Levi, priests. We say that God has made us kings and priests. And that's what everybody in glory is going to say someday. Unto Him who has made us kings and priests, sons of Levi, to carry the ark. One thing. The Levites did one thing, Kelly. They did one thing. Their life was consumed with one thing. The Ark of the Covenant. They left families, everything, jobs, everything. This is our life. What a privilege. What glory. What honor. What a calling. What a high, holy, heavenly calling it is to just bear up this Ark. The Levites said, "We're with you, Moses. We're on your side, on the Lord's side with you." And he said, "Put on your sword." This really happened. Did it? Aren't you glad we're not under the law? His tender mercies are over all His work. We're not under the law. This really happened. And they got their swords on and went out, and everybody that tried to draw them away, in Deuteronomy 13 as well as Exodus, to everyone, their brothers and sisters, husbands, wives, everyone that tried to draw them away from God and the truth, they killed them. Did they believe God? Yes, they did. Did they love God more than that? Yes, they did. They proved it. You don't take me away from my Lord. Now, God doesn't slay innocent people. He visits the iniquity of the children upon of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation, it says, of them that hate Him. He knows. And if we'll stand for the truth, it'll come out clearly. It really will. Man's hatred, even in our family, hatred of this God. And it will be proven who loves the Lord. Hebrews 3. Go to Hebrews 3 with them. This is the fiery trial. It really is. Fiery trial. Hebrews chapter 3. Now, Hebrews is the book of the Hebrew children. Israel, the sons of Jacob, Jews. Now, that's our claim. we claim to be a Jew inwardly. Not what I hope I am. I believe I am. They were God's chosen. They were God's elect. That's our claim. I believe I'm one of the elect. I believe you are. Okay? They had to them revealed. They had the truth revealed to them. The true God. The truth of salvation. The true Christ. I believe he has done that to us. Don't you? But as we say, oh, how they forget God and provoked him in the wilderness. The trial was the wilderness, wasn't it? And they became lean. All of them, it says, became lean. And Psalm 106, I wasn't going to preach on that. It says, all of them lusted exceedingly in the wilderness. I'm guilty. Yeah. And God sent leanness into their souls. They had everything they could eat and do and wear, but they were fat materially, but lean spiritually. Guilty. And look, it says, so they were supposed to be the house of God, and so are we. Verse 6, Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we? If we hold fast the confidence. And what? Rejoice in. There came a time some of the children of Israel said, we loathe this light bread, we want something else. Oh my. Didn't it? If the gospel ever ceases, I know you got the same preacher and the same building and the same pews and all that, just time has gone by, but if the gospel ever, if a man stands up and says, God is merciful, and if you ever lose the joy and the rejoicing of that, something's wrong. Do you remember? Look at Hebrews, whose house are we? Hebrews 6, over here, Hebrews 6. You see this warning, this all the way through the book of Hebrews, 1 Corinthians 10, I was going to read that, all the way through this book. He uses the apostles. Stephen stood up that day and preached the whole story of God saving his people, bringing them through how they became stiff-necked and hard-hearted. And the people took the stone and bashed his brain. We don't like that. Hebrews 6, it says in verse 4, it's impossible for those who were once enlightened and tasted of the heavenly gift and made partakers of the Holy Ghost, that tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall leave, if they shall fall away, if they shall leave, it's you're not going to bring them back. Let's see how serious this is. Why? They've crucified the Son of God all over again and put him to an open shame before the world. The world says, see, there's nothing to that. And that's what David said. He said, take away my reproach, which I fear. That is, don't let me bring reproach upon my Lord, whom I love. I will if you don't hold me up. Hebrews 10. This is why it says, and this is the whole story. You know, maybe you're looking forward. I hope you're looking forward to the meeting coming up, but it might not come up. I don't want you to look forward to that. I want you to listen right now. Today is the day of salvation. Our children are here right now. Oh, there may not be a tomorrow either. This is it. This is the message. Hebrews 10, this is why it says in verse 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith. I mean, lay hold of and don't, not for anybody or anything, don't let go. Jacob, how do you know Jacob believed the Lord? He said, I will not let you go till you bless me. I believe everything you've said. You've laid hold of me, Paul said. I've been apprehended. But Paul said, I'm not there yet, but this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to press. By the grace of God. Oh, but Paul, look here, look here. No, I'm determined to know nothing about you. Say Christ. Like the pilgrim in Pilgrim's Progress. Life, life, eternal life. I'm not listening to anybody or anything.
Don't try me. I've got my mind eyes on him.
Verse 25, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as a matter of some is. Does it hurt you? Some of you have been through a divorce. Was it painful? Was it? It's a terrible trial. It leaves scars, doesn't it? Oh, exhort one another. So much more as you see the day approaching. If we sin willfully. If we leave. And you know why we'll do it? Willfully. Oh, may we give diligence to make our calling and election sure. For it is God which worketh in us both to will and to pleasure, his good pleasure. May we come to our Lord and say, Lord, have you done a work in me? Make me willing and of your power to forsake all. Don't let me have my will. Don't let me have what my flesh wants. Don't do it, Lord, please. Overrule my flesh. I want you, Lord. I want you. Oh, there's a certain fearful looking for. Verse 27, a judgment. Judgment, that's what we're talking about. Judgment begins at the house of God. And a fiery indignation. You know what God holds the world accountable for, what God is angry with the world over? They've rejected His Son. Rejected His Son. He sent His Son to this despicable place. For unworthy, undeserving, no good worms and vile creatures that shook their fists and God. But God, rich in mercy, great love, sent His blessed Son to leave paradise to come to this hellhole. For who? And people said, we don't want Him. And nearly, yes, every single person on earth says, go back. But God. And this is what God holds everybody. You're not interested in my son. You don't care whether he lived or died. And then you make a profession that you do, and then you turn back for what? For who? And God said, I'm going to turn my back on you. And you're going to wish you'd never been born. Right? That's what it said. Read on. How much sorer punishment, verse 29, shall he be thought worthy of trodden underfoot the Son of God, counted to, you know, this is God's word to us. This is God's word. And that's all I want to do. This is to me. I'm a man of like passion, I call you. I have family that I love. I really do. I love them dearly. But do I love the Lord more? There's things in this world that I enjoy. Pleasures of sin. I do. I'm sorry. I do. We've got to admit it, don't we? But do I esteem this reproach for Christ? Would I rather wander in the wilderness than... Would I rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than have everything in this world? We're going to look at Moses in the next message. Choosing, rather, to suffer. Oh, it says in verse 30... One is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Now listen, read on. But, listen, call to remembering the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of affliction when you heard the truth and took a stand for it. And your family and your friends and the world and everybody says, he's gone mad, something's wrong with him. You said, I don't care. These are my people. This is my God. And you endured this fight of affliction. Didn't you? Everybody does. It happens. All my friends left me. And verse 34, Paul said, you had compassion of me and my bonds and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods. Gave to support the preacher. I love this man. He told me the truth. And something happens. Verse 35, cast not away therefore your confidence. What will we cast away all this for? Who will we give up this for? And you have need of patience. Verse 36, that after you've done the will of God and received the promise, a little while, and he will come. He shall come and will not tarry. He will. He's coming. He really is. Be sober. The end of all things at hand. Now the just shall live by faith. Any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. And I love that he ended it this way. We're not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. John, Herlaine, I believe I'm going to preach your funeral, and it's not going to be too long. And there you sit after all these years. I'm so thankful. So thankful. And there are others still sitting right there. I'm so thankful. God hasn't changed. I really haven't changed. I'm still the same sinner. The truth hasn't changed. The world hasn't changed. Nothing's changed. Our little building still is a little building. But oh, it's a tabernacle in the wilderness. Is it a city of refuge? Is it an oasis in the wilderness? Wouldn't you rather keep that door than be anywhere else? Would you? Well, the world is gone. Now go back to our text in 1 Peter. Let me end it. 1 Peter 4. He talks about suffering and a great fight of affliction. And he said in verse 17, time has come. Judgment must begin at the house of God. Judgment must begin at the house of God. It first began at us. What shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? What about people that go by us nothing to them? Oh boy. Well, you know, God dealt harder with the Israelites that rejected him. He dealt harder with them because they had sinned against revelation. They'd sinned against mercy. They'd sinned against love. They'd sinned against truth. They did like Judas. They betrayed their brethren, turned on their brethren, turned on God's man. They turned on the Lord. Paul said they mocked, tempted Christ himself, didn't it? In verse 17, what shall be the end of them? Verse 18, I hear you. If the righteous scarcely be saved, what's going to happen to the ungodly and the sinner? What does that mean? Well, many things. It means that there's such a great fight of affliction within the child of God. It's great difficulty that we go through. That's what 2 Corinthians 4 calls it, a great fight. It says, listen to it. We're troubled on every side. You must, through much tribulation, enter the kingdom of heaven. And this is how faith is known, these troubles and trials and tribulation. We're troubled on every side. We're not perplexed. No, we're not perplexed. God's doing all this. We're perplexed. I mean, we're not distressed. We're perplexed, but we're not in despair. We're not without hope, not without help. We're saved by hope. What's our hope? Christ is our hope. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. And all those people in Hebrews 11, it says that they were stoned and sawn asunder and so forth, but it says God was not ashamed to call them their God, to call them their His children, His son. And they weren't ashamed that He's their God. Ashamed of themselves. It says, always bearing about in the body the dying of our Lord Jesus Christ, delivered unto death for Christ's sake. And it goes on to talk much about this fight of affliction. The righteous, God's people, go through this world through trials, through tribulations, through suffering, through rejection, through separations and sorrow. sickness and death and all of these things. And by the grace of God, 100% by the grace of God, if they endure to the end, these fiery trials are going to be found unto praise, honor, and glory at the period of our Lord Jesus Christ. His praise. We're all going to say, He kept me, like Peter. He did this. He did this. And yet the work in them was so real. And we're going to see in Hebrews 11, it was so real. It was actual. It was literal. It was such a work in them that they said, like those Levites, I am my God's and nobody else. I belong to Him. And though the whole world, though my flesh and blood try to pull me away from Christ, I'm not leaving. That's the real work of God in a child of God. That's someone who's been born of God, kept by the power of God, who really does have Christ in them, and they're in Christ. Noah went into that ark, and the door was wide open, and people walking by scoffing, laughing, mocking at him. And he sat right there and said, I'm not moving. And the whole world is scoffing. There's nothing to that. The sun's shining. No, you fool. Righteousness. God's not that holy. God's not that righteous. Man's not that sinful. We're just as good as you, Noah. I'm sitting right here, waiting. And then one day, the door shut. And it rained down. And Noah and all his family lifted above the world, overcame the whole world. And one day he opened the door, and Noah walked out a new world. Why? He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. How do you know? He's in that ark, and he's not moving. I'm not going anywhere. Right? Oh. So he said, commit your souls, like marriage. You know, marriage is a commitment. We're married to Christ. Let him that suffer according to the will of God, and he will, commit the keeping of your souls to him in well-doing. What are we doing right now? This is well-doing. This is a good work, right? This is it. This is what God delights in. Sacrifices of God, well-pleasing to him. This is what God delights in. To a faithful Creator. Sobering, isn't it? It's supposed to be. It should be. It's trying. It's supposed to be. It should be. And this fiery trial. Oh, may he burn away the wood, hay, and the stubble. Burn away the dross and our gold to refine. Which is faith. More precious than gold. Okay.